Very important. Praise the Lord. You know, the church is a public place. I read a text. I don't know whether it's a man or a woman that sent me that text. But that person abused me, tire. He abused me, tire. Amen. Well, we expect it anyway. Praise the Lord. I expect it. The person abused me, tire. But I tried to phone the number back so that I could tell him, hey, forgive me. But the person, the phone was not going through. Maybe he go buy SIM card for the purpose of that only. But whatever it is, the problem the person has is my stand, and he looks at me as a critic. The person is offended, man or woman. You are offended because I speak against attachment. I speak against, according to you, I speak against the denominations. And all the things, I was reading them out for my wife to hear. I was reading it to her. It was very interesting. Praise the Lord. But at the end, and then he criticized every aspect of this ministry. Said the ministers behave like gods. Said the prophets behave like gods. He said the coordinators behave like mobile police. Amen. And he said, I am criticizing Catholic. He said, why don't I go to national television and preach against Muslims and Catholics and see if I will not receive the same persecution that Jesus Christ received? Amen. And despite all that, at the end, he said, the only reason why he or she has been coming to this church, he says, because then they pray well, well for this church. He says, if not for the prayer, if not they come this place. Praise God. Hallelujah. I am not a critic. Praise God. I am not a critic. Amen. And please don't think I hate women when I speak about women dressing anyhow. And something I have observed, church, I've said it several times. I say, when God created animals, listen, every animal that God created, they have different types of species. They are all called dog, for instance. But there is Alsatian dog. There is Rottweiler. There is Bulldog. There is German Shepherd. There is Bingo. Which one? Amen. They are all dogs, but different species. Horses. Different species of horses. In the sea, different species of fishes. They are all called fish, but different ones. Some goldfish, some, you know, different colors. Some of them red, some of them yellow, some of them all under the sea. Hallelujah. The same God that created every animal with her own species, even snakes, every animal that is created has different species. It's the same God that created human beings and also made us different colors and shapes and sizes. Amen. He made some human beings very black. And he made some Oyibo pointed nose. He made some black and flat nose. Hallelujah. He made some tall, he made some short. He made some pengele, he made some orobo. Fat. He is a God of variety. Now, church, listen. Of all the creatures, it is only human being that makes attempt to pervert their own species. It's only the human being. When you carry chemical and pour on your hair, when you carry bleach and bleach your skin so that a black person will become that color, self, it's not be white, not be, what do you call that color? Red. You see? That's the truth. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. It's perversion. It's perversion. So what I'm preaching, anytime I speak against perversion, you are frowning, but angels are clapping hands for me in heaven. Angels are saying, tell them, because human beings are the greatest problem in creation. A short woman will go and tell carpenter to increase something so that in height will increase. A black woman wants her hair to be as long as an Indian woman's hair. Then she'll go and carry attachment and put there. So which species is going? Then you'll be confused. Now Africa, I mean, now India, I mean, which one is this? We are coming back to the original. Come back to how God has made you. Praise the Lord. I am not a critic. I am a preacher of the ministry of restoration. And restoration is total. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Okay, we have been talking about the Holy Ghost since Monday. Does anybody have any question you want to ask before we go into prayers now? You can come out and ask your questions. Do you have any question? Or maybe I said anything during the week you don't understand or you disagree. It's time to answer question. Question. And if there is no question, me, I will ask you. And please, don't be so stubborn until you let the Holy Ghost chain you down. Today, anybody that the Holy Ghost chain will leave you. After all, we are entering weekend. We'll leave you here till Sunday. Yes, brother, ask your question quickly. Can you ask your question? Get a good microphone now. Yes, sister, give her the microphone.
Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Sister, I want to ask. Yesterday you preached about rapture.
The rapture, yes.
And predestination. Sister, I want to ask, how can one know if he's predestinated? If he's going to heaven or not? Because when you were preaching yesterday, it gave me a lot of concern. I was worried. So that is my number one question. How can one know if he's predestinated or not?
The answer is very simple. The answer is in Romans chapter 8. I think it's verse 30. He said, whom he did predestinate, them he called. And whom he called, them he justified. And whom he justified, them he glorified. So how do you know? God will lead you to correct water baptism first, so that you will be justified. Then he will glorify you by the baptism of the Holy Ghost. The ticket to go in the rapture is the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Colossians chapter 1 verse 27 speaks about Christ in you, the hope of glory. If you die, what is the confidence you have, the assurance that you will resurrect from the grave at the last trump of God? It is in Romans again, chapter 8 verse 11. It says, if the spirit that raised up Christ from the dead dwell in you, you will also be quickened. That spirit will also bring you back to life. So, you need the Holy Ghost to bring you out of the grave to go in the rapture. So, how will I know that I am predestinated? I know I am predestinated because he justified me and glorified me. Because it's not everybody that is justified.
Praise the Lord.
You're satisfied.
Yes, sir, I'm not still satisfied. How do you know? That is, what are the things around you that will make you to get that conviction that yes,
you are glorified? Yes, that's why I say, in my teaching for the baptism of the Holy Ghost, I try to be as simple as anything for everybody to understand. When you receive the Holy Ghost, it's not me that will tell you you have received the Holy Ghost. You are the one that will tell me I have received something. The only thing I will do is I will watch your life. If a man be in Christ, and how can you be in Christ? 1 Corinthians 12:13 says, by one spirit are we baptized into the body of Christ. So if a man be in Christ, he's a new creature. All things are passed away. The things I used to do, I do them no more. The ability to live a life of righteousness comes automatically upon you. By their fruits, we shall know them. You will know. How do I know? I gave you my own testimony of the meaning of grace. I know how bad I used to be before, but I just don't have the taste for those things anymore. From the day I received the baptism of the Holy Ghost, my friends are still in it. They cannot understand why I cannot follow them to beer parlor and drink. A man that was a DJ before in nightclubs, I even owned a nightclub. I was a popular DJ here in Lagos in the 80s. And now, if you play any of those worldly music, they disturb my spirit. And I'm not making it to please anybody. It is just part of me. Praise the Lord. And then, there is a love for God and the things of God that I never had before. It's in me. And there is a fear of God now. I don't want to offend him. You see? And that type of experience will not make you follow God because you need something from God. You just fall in love with him. Whether he gives you or not, you still find yourself you love him all the same. Now that is the evidence that you have been glorified.
Thank you, sir. This is my second question.
Yes.
This year, up from January to now, I find myself up to two times, find out that rapture took place. And in that first one, when the rapture took place, everybody, there was rushing everywhere. And the second time, the thing just happened as if it is unawares. And I found out that I was not prepared. So, sir, what I want to say is that what will make one to continue seeing it doesn't mean I've deviated or I'm not.
No, to see that the rapture took place and you are not there is God's own way of telling you, be careful. If not, you will miss the rapture. It is only one who is a candidate for rapture that God will be keeping you alert by revealing that to you. Because the Bible says, he who thinks he stands, take heed lest he fall. That's why Peter said, be diligent to make your calling and election Sure. All God is trying to show you is so that you don't relax. Continue to be in expectation. He said we should watch and pray. God bless you.
Thank you, sir.
Let me hear that, brother.
Praise the Lord. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Daddy, please, I want to ask a question, two questions, but I will be so brief. Number one, I read in the book of Revelation, where Bible talks about the seven spirits of God. So, sir, I want to understand the mystery of that seven spirit of God. Then number two, you know, we have known about the water baptism, but I have a question. I want to ask a question. Assuming somebody now receives the Lord Jesus Christ as his personal Lord and Savior, and by the special grace of Holy Spirit, he receives, and the Holy Spirit is in him. But that person, because I was an agrican, I received the Holy Ghost there before the Lord led me to know this place. Now, if that person has not known the mystery of water baptism, and maybe have never have encounter with such message, this end time message, and die without water baptism, will he make heaven or not, sir?
That's a very interesting question. It's a very interesting question. But let me first, the first question you asked, the seven spirits of God.
Yes, sir.
To start with, there is only one spirit of God.
Okay, sir.
The Holy Ghost. But the book of Revelation refers to seven spirits of God. The seven spirits there, it's not seven different spirits like that. Remember, the book of Revelation is a book of symbols. It's talking about the church of Jesus Christ that we go through seven church ages and the move of the Spirit of God in each age. In each age, the move of the Spirit of God. Seven moves of the Spirit of God. Seven spirits of God. That is the meaning.
Thank you, Sir Daddy.
Now, the other one now. I know several people have asked that type of question before. Now, church, listen, this is very important. I'll continue to repeat the answer, believing that somebody is hearing it for the first time too. Salvation is God's business, not your business. Amen. If anybody goes to heaven, you went to heaven because God took you to heaven. Not because you work so hard and you earned it. The only thing you will earn is the reward when we get there. For the gift, for your service here after you receive your salvation. But when it comes to salvation, it is God's own business. If you don't understand what I want to explain now, you will continue to wonder, you know, and be in confusion. The Bible says in John 6:44, it says, no man, and this scripture, everybody knows it in this church, our church members. No man, do you know that scripture?
Yes, Daddy, I know it.
Since when have you been in this church?
3 months ago now.
3 months?
Yes, sir.
Good. John 6:44. No man can come to Christ except the Father who sent him draw you. It's Bible. I'm quoting Bible. Oh. It's in the Bible. That's why I say that you should not read the Bible, but you should do what?
Study.
I say study because 2 Timothy chapter 2 verse 15 says, Paul was telling Timothy, say what? Study to show thyself approved unto God. A workman that needed not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Now, if you study the Bible, there are some statements that are written there that when you read, you will stop. No man can come to Christ except the Father draw you. But the Bible says, for God so loved the love that gave his only begotten Son that whosoever believeth. So everybody now, salvation is for everybody now. Jesus said, come to me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. So come, everybody, come, come, come now, come. But Jesus said, nobody can come to me except the Father bring you to me. So it means if you're a Christian today, it is the Father of Jesus that brought you to Christ. That's the meaning of that statement. Now, but the problem is, if he's the one that draw you, draw me to Christ, why did he then allow my unbelieving brother and sister die without drawing them? Because you have to start from that to understand this your question. Why did he choose me and allow the other one to die? Does it mean God is partial? No. So in Romans chapter 8, verse 29, hallelujah, it says, for whom he did foreknow. Foreknowledge there is knowing something in advance concerning you and then your brother that died as an unbeliever. The two of you, there is something God knew concerning the two of you before you were even born. What did he know? He knows before the foundation of the world. He knows that two groups of people all condemned to go to hell because they saw that sinners shall die. Two groups of people. He saw two groups. He saw one. If I reveal myself to him, he will believe. The other one, no matter what I do to him, he will never believe. And in his mercy, will I allow these two of them, all of them, to go to hell, since if I give one opportunity, he will believe and serve me. He knows. And because of it, he took your name and wrote your name in a book of life, even before the foundation of the world. From the foundation of the world, he has already known you. He has already known all the 6 or 7 billion children of Adam that will populate the whole earth. He knows everyone. He knows those who will believe and those who will not believe. It is those he knows will believe. If he reveal himself to them, it is because of them he sent Jesus Christ to the cross of Calvary, so that he can make a way for them to be saved. Hallelujah. For whom he did foreknow, he did predestinate. Your destination was determined before you began. Then in verse 30, he said, moreover, whom he did predestinate, they are the ones that he called. Are we getting the picture now?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
And those that he called, he will justify. He will make them to understand what happened on the cross on Calvary. He will lead them to correct water baptism. There are people that are going to church, but it is not God that called them. Do you understand what I'm saying?
Yes, sir.
So you are saying, what of my brethren who are in Anglican? Were you not in Anglican?
Yes, sir.
Why are some of them dying there without having the revelation you have? And God reserved you, preserved you. You didn't die until you see the revelation and have your sins remitted first. Why? Hallelujah.
Amen.
Because your name is in the book of life.
Woo!
Blessed be the name of the Lord. Is your question answered now?
Yes, sir. Thank you, sir.
Thank you.
Church, put your hands behind the Lord Jesus Christ.
Yes.
Praise the Lord.
God bless you. That is too deep for denominational chickens. This is eagle food. This is eagle food. Hallelujah. This is eagle food. This revelation is too deep. It's too deep. If a chicken should eat this revelation, they will purge. It will purge them. It will purge them. Blessed be the name of the Lord. There is something unique about the eagle I mentioned yesterday. I said, the Bible says, where the carcass is, there will the eagles be gathered. Hallelujah. There's something about the bride of Jesus Christ. The bride of Jesus Christ do not just get carried away by anything anyhow. The bride of Jesus Christ does not follow miracle signs and wonders. That is not their identity. Hallelujah. But they don't deny it. They don't deny miracle signs and wonder. Did they hear me? They don't deny miracle signs and wonder. Praise the Lord. They believe miracle signs and wonders. And God will not do something and they will send a devil to him. No. Hallelujah. That's why you have never heard me here speaking against the miracles taking place with TB Joshua. No. If you say he's occultic, now you and him follow God where you get the power from. If you are sure, then you be that. But I know, he says in the name of Jesus, rise up and walk. And somebody stands up and walk, you say, now devil. Now you be devil. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. That's blasphemy of the Holy Ghost. Are you saying that God cannot perform a miracle? Are you saying that that cancer that went, that it is too much for God to do, now only devil feed one? Why will you give glory to devil when you see God doing something? But it's because they don't know the mystery of that anointing with the man. Hallelujah. It is part of the spirit of delusion. It's part of the spirit of delusion. Amen. He has nothing for the bride. But he has something for that group that come there. And that's the reason that anointing is given to him, to gather that group. Oyakhilome is giving his own anointing to gather his own group. Adeboye is giving his own to gather his own group. Oyedepo is giving his own to gather his own. Muoka is giving his own anointing to gather his own. They are called reapers in the Bible. Moses Alu is giving his own anointing to gather his own. Amen. Hallelujah. How will you know it is God that sent us if there is no anointing following us? But what did he send us to do? There are some that he has sent to gather his jewels for home going. There are some is gathering them so that they will become a bundle to burn them with fire. They are all ministers of God, servants of God, with genuine anointing from above to do the gathering, because it is gathering time. All manner of things are in the church of Jesus Christ. Mixed multitude. Yes, God said at the end time, he will send his servants, his angels, reapers. They will gather the chaff and bundle them first. And then they will gather the wheat for home going. That's the truth. Praise the Lord. So if you don't have revelation, close your eyes. Stop criticizing the anointing anywhere. We criticize their teachings and their doctrines. We don't criticize the anointing. It is a genuine anointing from God. Blessed be the name of the Lord. That's another one too deep. That's too deep for the chickens. Praise the Lord. When an eagle, that's why I wanted to say something. When an eagle sees something, it is chicken. When a chicken sees anything there, immediately he sees, he be like, they will go there. Choco. They won't even investigate to know whether poison there inside or anything there inside. Choco. But not an eagle. When the eagle sees it, he will fly up. So that he will look at it well. He will go up first and shine his eyes. Hallelujah. Is that scriptural? What is going on there? Is it according to the word of God? Hallelujah. And it's not enough that you are adding the name of William Branham to your ministry. It's not enough to convince or confuse the real equals. Hallelujah. Because some 2 years ago, 2 or 3 years ago, some people came out and said, no, in the 80s, they say, thunder has sounded. But the eagle, instead of rushing there, they went up first to look. And they looked, they said, now dead carcass. The thorn go away because an eagle eats only fresh food. Some time again, 3 years ago, another one came, saying, he is John. He is chief apostle. It is after him, then thunder will strike. And chickens run and follow them. John, John, John. Some of them reach there, reach there, reach there, finish. And they say, Delight, say, come home. Come home. Never more to roam. There's nothing there. We looked at the scripture and saw what was going on there. We saw another antichrist spirit. Holding sermon book, quoting William Branham. Don't worry, time will prove. And every playhouse will close down. And let the true bride shine the light. Very soon. Praise the Lord. Whatever you see going on here, don't just accept it because it is in bride assembly. Go back and pray. That's what I want to tell you. Don't just because you see any anointing here say it means God is here. That is not the evidence that God is here. Go and pray, Lord, where is this ministry? What is this bride assembly? Reveal it to me. Reveal it to me. And God answers that prayer. Chop, 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 chop. He doesn't waste time. Because he's the one that established this ministry. Praise the Lord. And some of you, your attraction to anywhere is the gift. Okay? If not gift, carry you come here, gift will drive you from here. That's the truth. You'll soon see one carnal gifted brother or sister that will stumble you, you will run back. But I'm telling you, praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Can I assure you that the bride of Jesus Christ, none of them will be lost. Wherever they make a mistake and they cage them, hallelujah, one of these days, that cage will break to pieces. That is what we are going today by breaking that pure water. Every cage, caging any bride anywhere, I shall smash it, that cage will break. And the church will locate where she's supposed to be. In the name of Jesus Christ. Thank you. Let me just finish these questions. Yes, mommy.
Praise the Lord. Sir, I have this question that has been disturbing me. I want you to solve the problem, sir. Sir, a woman is a... She was... Sir, she's born in Assemblies of God, brought up in Assemblies of God, wedded in Assemblies of God. So after 25 years, her husband died. Then she cried and cried and cried and cried. Nobody can console her. Then she went to the pastor and asked, can God say something and that thing will never come to fulfillment? And the pastor said, no. Then nobody can give her advice. No amount of the Bible that you can use to console her to come back to Christ. She will first of all tell you what the Bible said. Then that condition makes her to backslide from Christ. Then my question goes, sir, what will I do so that she will be back to Christ?
Praise God. Have you spoken to her before?
Yes, sir.
Which scripture did you give her that she rejected?
How many of them?
Give me one.
Sir?
Church. Listen, hallelujah. You said she was born in Assemblies of God. She married in Assemblies of God. But you did not tell me that she received the baptism of the Holy Ghost in Assemblies of God. You see, that you are born in a Christian family does not make you a Christian. Hallelujah. Labor catch you, you run to bride assembly, and you deliver on top of this altar, does not make that baby a Christian. The only thing that makes anyone a Christian is that you have received the Spirit of Christ by the baptism of the Holy Ghost. And unless somebody has the Holy Ghost, if you quote scripture, it will have no effect on him. And that is why I say, we all need the Holy Ghost. Two nights ago, we looked at the Holy Ghost as the comforter. Knowing that situations like that will arise, that is why he gives us the Holy Ghost, to comfort us in moments of frustrations like that. That is evidence she does not have the Holy Ghost. What do we do is pray for her salvation. And if her name is written in the book of life, she will come back.
Sir, another question, sir. Sir, is it compulsory that every believer must pass through wilderness?
Yes. Correct.
Before he or she will be glorified.
Before you glorify. That is before the rapture. It's before rapture. Our rest, final rest, is the rapture. While we are here on earth, we shall have ups and downs. And, hallelujah. You know, I'm speaking Bible. Can we open Romans? Chapter 3 or so, chapter 5. Hallelujah. Chapter 5. Hallelujah. Are we there? Sister, listen. I'm reading Romans chapter 5. Let me just read one or two scriptures. Verse 3 says, and not only so, but we glory in tribulations also, knowing that tribulation worketh patience, and patience experience, and experience hope. What is Apostle Paul telling us? He said, we glory in tribulation. That is, we go through tribulations happily because God has designed that through tribulation the virtue of patience will be produced in us. Why? Why did he say so? That when it comes to walking with God, sister, when it comes to a human being walking with God, anybody that will receive anything from God at all, you must imbibe the virtue of patience.
Yes, sir.
The reason is, if God say, I will bless you soon, the soon of man is not the soon of God. Do you understand? The Bible says our own 1,000 years, it is before God. How many days? Only one day. And so that we will learn the habit, the virtue of patience, He, God, will allow us to go through tribulation. It is a process of training us. Then He said, and that because you have patience, you will have experience. He said, patience will produce experience. And because of your experiences, you will have hope. So, hallelujah. Praise the Lord. I have prayed several times. I have been sick several times. Several uncountable times. that I prayed and God healed me. Because I believe in divine healing. And since I got that revelation in 1989 till today, I have had no reason to go to the hospital because I am sick. But within this period, when you see me fall sick, and then people around me, my loved ones, are saying, go to the hospital now. You will die now. I will look at them and say, don't worry, nothing will happen. That means I have hope that I'll be healed. What makes me have the hope that I'll be healed is because of my past experiences. I have had sicknesses that people thought I will die. But I stood on the word of God and he healed me. Therefore, if any other sickness come now, I will remember the experience I've had before and I will not be afraid. I will have hope that he will heal me because he's the same yesterday, today, and forever. James chapter 1 verse 2, it says, count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations. That's the way James put it. Okay, let me hear you.
Praise the Lord. Sir, I fell in love with your teachings.
Thank you very much.
But there is something that gives me concern. About the Trinity you always teach about. I'm still confused about that because like now you said something that no one comes to me except the Father draw him. And we know, we are aware of the fact that Jesus, even Jesus Christ himself always say, my Father, my Father, my Father. And we know that there is God, the creator of heaven and earth. That is one. And we know our Lord Jesus Christ who came and died for remission of our sins, and that is Christ. And we know you always teach of the Holy Spirit, the gift of the Holy Spirit, and that is what I understand by the Trinity, as I always get it from, I was born in Catholic anyway. The Trinity, God, the creator of heaven and earth, Jesus Christ, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, which he sent after he left as our comforter. So I'm confused anyway. I want you to teach me more about that. Thank you.
It is Jesus that kept talking about the Father.
Yes, sir.
And day before yesterday, I think we read a scripture, Matthew chapter 1. Who is the Father of Jesus, brother?
He said, the creator of heaven and earth, my Father, that is he who sent me. Like in John, he said, I will do the work of he who sent me now that there is still day for
Amen.
Night's coming.
You are correct. You are very, very correct. Open your Bible, sir. Matthew chapter 1. So that is where we shall know who is the Father of Jesus. I think your father, you know your father?
Yes, sir.
What's his name?
Livinus.
Why is he your father?
My biological father, he slept with my mother and
thank you. You know it very well. That is, he is the one that pregnanted your mother.
Yes, sir.
Oh yeah, let's see now. Verse 18. Read it.
Verse 18 said, now the birth of Jesus Christ was on this wise. When as his mother Mary was espoused to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Ghost.
Whose child was in that womb?
Of the Holy Ghost.
Who was the father of that child in that womb?
The Holy Ghost.
So who is the father of Jesus?
The Holy Ghost.
Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
So that's why I say study the Bible. Eh? The Father of Jesus is the Holy Ghost. Praise the Lord. The Father of Jesus is the Holy Ghost. Anytime Jesus say, Father, I thank you because you always hear me. Who is he referring to? The Holy Ghost. Because it's the Holy Ghost that produced him. And who is the Holy Ghost? The Holy Ghost is the Holy Spirit, of course. The Holy Ghost, the Holy Spirit, we are saying the same thing. The Holy Spirit is that great eternal spirit that created the heavens and the earth, including you, including Jesus, including me, including everybody. He is the great eternal spirit. He is the Father of Jesus. He is also our Father because he created us. He is the spirit that produced Jesus in the womb of Mary. He is that same spirit that came by the water side when Jesus Christ was getting baptized to announce to the whole world, if you are looking for me, this is my beloved son in whom I am well pleased. Because that is where he is now. The great eternal spirit. Then when he finished doing what he created Jesus for, he took him back. That same spirit that came in Jesus, that same spirit that produced Jesus Christ in the womb of Mary, came as the baptism of the Holy Ghost to dwell inside those of us that he used Jesus Christ to redeem. It is the same God in three offices, not three persons. As Father above us, as the Creator, in his Son for redemption price, and in us that he has redeemed. Father above, in his Son, in us. Three offices of the same one God, not three different persons in one. It is wrong.
Thank you, sir. But, sir, one more thing, sir.
Yes.
If that is the case, then who do we call God?
Hallelujah. You can call Ogu God. Anything you worship is God. God is an English word given to anything that is worshipped. So what is your question?
Thank you, sir.
Thank you. Yes, sister.
Praise the Lord. My question, I have three questions here to ask. Can an angel appear to you, speaking to you without putting on white?
Which day he appeared to me?
In the dream.
Appear to you.
And was giving me some message, and the message was confirmed.
So but he was not putting on white.
Yes, that is why I want to know who was talking to me.
Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. The appearance of God. Amen. Hallelujah. It's not determined or confirmed by the color he appears. You confirm it by the message he gives you. Is this scriptural? Or did it come to pass or not? Then you will know whether that angel that appeared to you na devil or angel of God. Not the dress he wore. Because demons, the Bible said, Satan himself disguises himself as an angel of light. So Satan can come dressed in white and purer than the white of Jesus. And you will say, hey! And you will say, I am Angel Michael. I am Angel Gabriel. Amen. And if you don't know your Bible, you will think that true that is Angel Michael. Angel Michael will never appear to the Gentile. Angel Gabriel will not appear to the Gentile. Their ministry is for the Jews. Okay.
Praise the Lord. The second question says, can God reveal to
any pastor for you to tell you amount of money you are going to pay as a seed?
Yes, it's possible. But pastor can also lie when God no tell him. Any other question?
Yes, sir. The third one is that since we are not Catholic, we are Pentecostal. Has somebody hear a voice? Make an altar. What does that mean?
Make an altar.
Yes, sir.
Make an altar. And then you don't talk again. Just say, make an altar.
After that, started telling you some things. And it was true and confirmed.
Now when you hear a voice, but quickly, let me also add this. When God is going to speak to you, He's going to relate to you in a language that you will understand Him. He will not leave you in confusion. And so, anytime you have a revelation and you don't understand, don't act on it. Ask Him again. He knows the vex. He will tell you again.
Thank you.
God bless you. But then, sorry. When you see God tell you, make an altar. Make an altar. Praise the Lord. Now listen. Because this is revelation. That's why I say, God does not use symbols that you don't understand. So you try to know your scriptures very well. It's very, very important. When you say, make an altar, make an altar. What is altar? Altar is a place where sacrifices are offered unto God. Altar is a meeting place of God with a man. So, when he says, but you know that we created this altar, that doesn't mean that this is the meeting place with you. We now know that the altar of God is where? It's where? It's now your heart. Not that place. But that place is dedicated for prayers. It's consecrated and dedicated for prayers. You can designate any place as a place where you will go for prayers. And God will honor it. When He says make an altar, it simply means, I need your heart. Cleanse your heart. Make an altar. Cleanse your heart. If you have unforgiveness there, remove it. If you have any evil thought there, remove it. I want to come. I want to show you something. Praise the Lord.
Okay. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
I thank God for leading me to this ministry, and I thank God for your life, sir.
Amen.
Mine is not like a question. It's like an appeal. By God's grace, I camp with the prayer group that camped here for this program. And I really dedicated this week for this program and for the Lord. Amen. I want to have access to the library because I want to search more about this ministry. But I was told that the library is not open until the evening where the program is going on. Please, sir, I want to make the appeal. Maybe the library can be made accessible to us during the day so that we can make some studies.
We do that.
Thank you, sir.
The
second will have been a testimony, but I discovered that it's also linked with some questions. That is why I want to ask the question. I joined this church just about a month ago. I was the one that gave the testimony. I came. I was born again on the 18th of March, 1989.
We remember your testimony.
Okay.
So that we can cut the long story short.
By God's grace, I was baptized by immersion, 1992.
Amen.
I was just baptized by immersion recently here, when I was convinced, and I know that it is the truth of the word of
Amen.
God.
Amen.
And
hallelujah.
I discovered that day when I got baptized by immersion, there's a kind of peace that settles in my heart. It just as if it was the experience I had the day I was born again.
Clap your hands now. It's a confirmation. Amen.
It's like the peace I experienced the day I was born again. Right from that day, the Lord has been dealing with me in a different level. After the night vigil we had last week Sunday, I slept and the Lord was revealing a lot of mysteries to me. I was the one that texts you about three text messages about what God told me about some of the prophets, about what God told me he would do during this program, and what God told me about this building before next camp at June, how the Lord will complete this place.
Clap your hands now. I'm in expectation for that too. So what's your question?
My question is, the first question is, as I was talking to God about this ministry, the Lord himself taught me in the scriptures. I just discovered I was sleeping and the Lord was revealing to me. The Lord was teaching me, comparing this ministry with denomination. And I was just, when I woke up, I said, God, what are you saying? And the Lord said I should go to read every book in the New Testament that has both first book and second book. That is First Corinthians chapter 3, verse 15. Second Corinthians chapter 3. First Thessalonians, Second Thessalonians, First Timothy, Second Timothy, First Peter, Second Peter.
We are anxious for your question.
And I discovered that from that place, what the Lord was telling me when I read it.
Because of time.
When yes. I read it, it was telling me everything about this ministry that God was teaching me in the dream. Now, the question is, all that the Lord was revealing to me, as I got baptized in the Holy Ghost when I was in deeper life. But when this message now came, I now got confused that ask for the Holy Ghost. Sometimes when the prayer is going on, I'll be moved to speak in tongues. But I now got confused. See that I'm not baptized in the Holy Ghost before. I knew I was baptized in the Holy Ghost. And I know there is difference between baptism of the Holy Ghost and anointing of the Holy Ghost. And when you talk, well, you normally say that we come here not to come and speak in tongues. So I was somehow confused. I said, is it that I'm not baptized in the Holy Ghost? What is happening to me? Should I be asking for God baptize me in the Holy Ghost or fill me with the Holy Ghost?
So that's what you are. Your question is, you discover you no longer speak in tongues.
I speak in tongues.
So what's the problem?
If this program, like, I may be moved to speak in tongues, but yes. I will just discover that I will not want to speak in tongues.
Why will you not want to speak in tongues?
That actually is because I got confused. That's what I'm asking.
You are confused?
Yes, sir.
Because I said the Holy speaking in tongues is not the evidence of the Holy Ghost.
No, it's part of the evidence. But you said we don't come here to come and speak in tongues.
But came here to do what?
To receive the Holy Ghost.
And if you receive the Holy Ghost, what will happen?
Part of the evidence is to speak in tongues.
So if you have received the Holy Ghost, so what's the problem now? I said the denomination, the Pentecostal denomination will tell you, come and speak in tongues. I said, no, don't come and speak in tongues. Come and receive the Holy Ghost. When you receive the Holy Ghost, then you will speak in tongues as the Spirit will give you utterance. But I said that everybody cannot speak in tongues. Your own may be speaking in tongues. Another person may be shouting. Another one, tears may be coming out of the eyes. Another one, he may throw you down. Another one may be moving as if you are drunk. Another one, you feel a breeze. Another one, you may see fire all over your body. It is the same manifestation. Different manifestation, but the same spirit.
Thank you, sir. The second question is...
So next time the unction comes for you to speak in tongues, don't stop it. Bust out. Keep speaking until he stops.
Thank you, sir. The second question is, can one operate in the gift of the Holy Ghost before he is baptized in the Holy Ghost?
Now, listen. I say you can be anointed with the Holy Ghost and you may not have the infilling of the Holy Ghost, which is the baptism of the Holy Ghost. How do I know whether it is just anointing on me or it is Christ now in me? I say you have to know. That is the meaning of what we say, the evidence of the Holy Ghost. Before you say the evidence of the Holy Ghost, you have to know what is the purpose of the Holy Ghost. When you discover the purpose of the Holy Ghost, then you can now say yes. When you see that purpose achieve in your life, then you can say this is the evidence. And I say one of it is that it is a power of transformation. So if you steal yourself, you receive anointing, you fall down under anointing, you see vision, you speak in tongue, and you stand up, and immediately you see a woman, your body charge, and you still go and sleep with her, And then when you wake up, your nothing is condemning you. And then as you reach church again, when you just stood up from that prostitute, and you reach church, the vision break again, you see fall down again under anointing, that is evidence you have not yet received the baptism of the Holy Ghost. For by their fruits, ye shall know them. You have only received the anointing of the Holy Ghost. It means God wants to use you for something. That's why he anointed you. He has not yet touched you for redemption, for salvation.
I understand, sir. But my question is, okay, I think you've answered it. Thank you, sir.
God bless you. Let me hear the sister.
Praise the Lord. Sir, you are a man of God.
Thank you.
The word of God I heard here made me sit right here. I want to ask this question. You refuse the Holy Ghost and you know you have the Holy Ghost. Can one be sick? When you have the Holy Ghost in you, can you be sick often?
Hallelujah.
Because I'm confused.
Praise the Lord. Church, so many people get confused by this. Listen, I want to say something a little deep here. Listen, you can receive the baptism of the Holy Ghost and still fornicate. That's why I want to say something deep. Let's open 1 John. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. If you are with me, I want to read. Chapter 3, 1 John chapter 3. Listen. Verse 4. 1 John chapter 3, verse 4. Whosoever committed sin transgressed also the law, for sin is a transgression of the law. And ye know that he was manifested to take away our sins, and in him is no sin. Whosoever abided in him sinneth not. Whosoever sinneth has not seen him, neither known him. Go to 1 John chapter 5. Hallelujah. If we are there, verse 18. We know that whosoever is born of God sinneth not. But he that is begotten of God keepeth himself, and that wicked one toucheth him not. When the Bible says, he that is born of God sinneth not. What the scripture means there is that that person has no pleasure in sin. He has no pleasure in sin. Galatians chapter 5. Galatians chapter 5. Verse 16. This I say then, walk in the spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusteth against the spirit, and the spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary the one to the other, so that ye cannot do the things that ye would. But if ye be led of the spirit, ye are not under the law. I read these scriptures for you to just pick a thought there. When you receive the Holy Ghost, you receive the Holy Ghost into this body, you have two natures now in you. You have this flesh, and you have the Spirit of God inside of you. Whichever one you yield to, that is the one you will be servant of. That's why Apostle Paul said, Walk in the spirit so that you will not fulfill the lust of the flesh. So it means that you can be filled with the Holy Ghost and you are not watchful. You will allow this body to lead you to trouble. And that is why Hebrew, the Bible tells us that whom he loves, what does he do? Why do you think he will chastise you? It's because you have done something wrong. But that does not stop you from being his child. What has made you his child is eternal life that he has given you. The spirit that he has given you, he has given you, he can never take it away. He has given you the spirit of sonship, the spirit of adoption. You are his own now. He becomes your father, you become the son. You become the daughter. The father-son relationship exists between you. Like any other person, you have a son. The son can decide to be stubborn, but he's still your son. And so, when he misbehaves, you will cane him. Any true child of God, immediately you go and do any of these things that are contrary to the commandment of God, what will happen to you? He will deal with you. He will deal with you. That is why we say, if you say you have received the Holy Ghost, you are a child of God, and you go and do any of these nonsense things and nothing happens to you, that is evidence you don't belong to him. If you belong to him, he will deal with you. He will withdraw your peace. He will keep you miserable. He can make you lose your job. He can make your business to fold up. He can make your marriage to go in trouble until you come back to him and say, okay, Father, forgive me. And he will receive you again and then rebuild you back again. But he will so do it that next time, when you remember what you went through, you will stay with him. Now, that is concerning the works of the flesh. The same thing also, as long as you are in this flesh, we have battles to face with witches and wizards, including sicknesses and diseases. But we are overcomers. We are overcomers. That is why he went to the cross on Calvary. We will go and stand and challenge. That is why Christians fast. That is why Christians pray. That's why we come for night vigil. That's why we are here every time, go to the mountain, go everywhere to pray, so that we shall keep all these things, including sicknesses, including everything, away. So the answer is yes, a born again Christian can be sick and even die of that sickness. It's possible. Are you true? You don't agree? You're not satisfied? If you're not clear, let me know.
I am. Since he said a born again Christian can be sick and die of it.
You can be sick and die of it. Yes. Because my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. Because faithlessness can make you accept it and you die.
But what if you know that you're living a righteous life and you have the faith, that faith, you fight and still
and yet the sickness still continue,
yes,
or the trouble still continue, then I have a scripture for you. For we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. I have told you before, anytime you have a problem, you pray, he refuses to go. You have done all you are supposed to do, he refuses to go. That is evidence God's hand is in it. And what you're supposed to do is, have your way, oh Lord, in my life. God can do it like that. God bless you.
Thank you, sir.
But listen, 1 Corinthians chapter 12, read it. Is it chapter 10? Chapter 10. 1 Corinthians chapter 10. Read from verse 13.
It says, there hath no temptation taken you but such as is common to man.
Uh-huh.
But God is faithful.
God is what?
Faithful.
Uh-huh.
Who will not suffer you to be tempted above that
He will never allow you to be tempted above what you are able to go through. Uh-huh.
But will the temptation also make a way?
To he will make a way. Uh-huh.
That you may be able to bear it.
Thank you. That's the word for you. Yes? Let me hear.
Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
I thank you, man of God. I thank the church, entire church. It seems this program was organized for me.
Amen. Who else was it organized for? I mean, it's organized for me too.
Praise the Lord. Since I walked into this auditorium on Monday, my heart is filled with peace.
Amen.
Because the type of things I'm hearing here, out there we don't have it.
Is it the first time I've come here? On Monday?
I came here first time on Monday.
On Monday. Clap your hands, sir. From Monday until now.
Praise the Lord.
4 days ago.
Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
So, my question, there's one problem we have out there. In first, it's Ephesians chapter 6, verse 12.
Yes.
He said, for we wrestle not against flesh and blood.
Yes.
But against principalities and against powers. And against the rulers of darkness of this world. And against the spiritually wickedness in the high places. But in my own church, we have what we call the scatter by fire. Enemy die. So, praise the Lord. No, it's not a funny thing, you know. All the prayer centers on scatter by fire, enemy die, witchy die, brother die, sister die, uncle, neighbor, friends, witches, enemy. The consciousness, the atmosphere is, there's no God. It's, we are fighting the battle ourselves. So I want to know, is it possible for these principalities and powers to die by fire and scatter by thunder and break by stones so that I can now channel my battle? Because what I'm seeing here is a different scenario.
Praise Hallelujah. He's a mighty one in battle. You are the mighty man in battle.
Oh, Jehovah is he. He's the mighty man in battle.
Oh,
El Shaddai.
Oh,
you're the mighty man in battle. Glory to your name.
God of vengeance. Children. Praise God. Hallelujah. But when you meet somebody who knows his Bible, the way you package the prayer is different. Demons don't die. God has reserved Revelation chapter 20, the white throne judgment. That is when you will burn up all of them. But for now, demons don't die. So if you say every spirit that is troubling my life, die, it's an unscriptural prayer. It will not die. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. And we are not permitted to curse. The Bible does not permit us to curse. We are to commit our battles to the Lord. When you know that anybody is troubling your life, hand him over to God.